What if God's mercy for Israel is actually the hope of every nation on earth, including ours in this pivotal year for America? In a world tearing itself apart, Scripture says Jews and Gentiles are meant to rejoice together under one Messiah, Jesus Christ our Lord. Before you scroll past, lean in for a few minutes and see how God's ancient promises to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob collide with your life, your country, and your calling today. This might change the way you pray for Israel and how you live in the public square. So let's dive in. The Washington Defender Daily Devotional. I'm your host, Pastor Brian Noble, CEO of Family Policy Institute of Washington. That's FPIW.org or FPIWaction.org. Hey, I hope you are having a fabulous day as we dive into God's Word. It is July 1st. What a day to celebrate the United States of America. 250 years on July 4th, 1776, and we're at 2026. So there we go. So I hope you can celebrate America with us. It's just going to be a great season of celebration. Now, I've oftentimes been asked, well, doesn't that sound arrogant and biased to celebrate your country? No, it doesn't. Here's what I would tell you. You should have your family be such live in such a way that you believe that your family is the best family on the face of the planet, and you should celebrate your family. And you should also have the humility to understand that there may be families better than you, right? I mean, it's not arrogant to celebrate and live in such a way that your family glorifies God and so on and so forth, understanding that we're all in process. Same with our nation. You should make your nation, by being the best citizen that honors and glorifies God, the best nation in the entire world. So whether you live in South America, North America, whether you live in Africa, or you live in Europe, or you live in the Asian Pacific, wherever you might live, you should look at your country as the best. And if not, you should work to make it the best. I don't think there's anything wrong about being proud to be an American, proud to being a Mexican, proud to being from Brazil or Brazilian, Argentine, you know what I'm saying, from Uganda, Ugandan, Kenyan. Now I'm going to have to, I can't stop now, but you get what I'm saying. I don't think there's wrong with being proud to be where you're from. Now, should we have humility and say, can our nation grow? Of course. So I'm not ashamed to be an American. God strategically placed me in this country in 2026 and has asked me to celebrate my nation and steward it to the best of my ability. So if you're enjoying our series, Strength for Unity, I want to encourage you to subscribe, like, share, and comment. And if you're in that Washington Defender app, place this inside of your huddle. It really will help us accomplish our goal, which is to change our hearts so that we change the public square. Also, if you're a financial supporter of FPIW or FPIW Action, thank you so very much for your generosity. All right, so we are in our Strength for Unity and the Promises of Mercy. Christ fulfills God's promises to Israel and extends mercy to the nations, uniting them in praise. So let's check this out. This is a cool set of verses. It says, "For I say that Christ has become a servant to the circumcision." That's to the Jews, right? Christ is a servant to the circumcision on behalf of the truth of God to confirm the promises given to the fathers. Okay, so who are the fathers? Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, or Israel. So Christ has become a servant to the circumcision on behalf of the truth of God, okay? To confirm, the reason for Christ is to confirm the promises given to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So what are those promises? And to say it simply, I would say it this way. God has a nation. God has a bride. Why? God is sovereign. We've been hitting that so many times. It's not a problem for God to have a nation, a bride, and it's because he is sovereign. But let's go back to Genesis chapter 12, and let's look at it. It says, verse 1, "Now the Lord said to Abram," or Abraham, "go forth from your country, from your relatives, from your father's house, to the land which I will show you, and I will make you a great nation." We're going to see that word come up later. "And I will bless you, and I will make your name great, and so you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you, I shall curse. And in you, all the families of the earth will be blessed." Now, he doesn't just say it once, but he says that multiple times. We can see here in Genesis chapter 14, once again, we see that the Abraham, blessed be the Abraham, and that's Melchizedek. And so we see chapter 15, do not fear Abraham, I'm your shield, I'm your reward again. And so this promise is repeated over and over and over to Abraham, even before he was circumcised and then after the covenant of circumcision. So he says, so that the truth of God will be confirmed to the promises given to the fathers. Why does Abraham, I mean, why did Christ come to the circumcision? So that, look at that, the truth of God to confirm the promises to the forefathers. God's going to keep his promise to the forefathers. And Christ came. Why did Christ come as a servant? He came for the Gentiles. Now, many of you are Gentiles, like I'm a Gentile. And so, and for the Gentiles to glorify God for his mercy. Okay. So he came for two purposes, one for the circumcised, okay, the Jews, and one for the Gentiles, the uncircumcised, you might say. And so that we may glorify God for his mercy. We are living in the day and the age of the church, where the Gentiles are being called in and harvested so that God may be glorified for his mercy. As it is written, therefore, I will give praise to you among the Gentiles, and I will sing to your name. So where does that come from? Well, that actually comes from Psalm 18, verse 49. Psalm 18, verse 49. And we're going to look at that one. Let me go back just a little bit further. Psalm 18, verse 49. There we go. It says, therefore, I will give thanks to you among the nations. So this right here is the same word nations that it was used in Genesis chapter 12 about Israel being a nation, or Abraham's people being a nation. So the nations, O Lord, and I will sing praises to your name. So why does Paul say Gentiles? He's quoting this verse, but he doesn't put the word nations there. He puts the word Gentiles there, because this in its context is speaking not of the nation of Israel, but all the other nations, the Gentiles, you might say. And so he's saying, therefore, I will give praise to you among the Gentiles. Have you ever thought about Psalm 18:49, or this is also stated, let me see here, get my verse up there, 2 Samuel chapter 22, verse 50, that these are prophetic utterances about the Gentiles? He gives great deliverance to his kings and shows loving kindness to his anointed, to David, and to his descendants. We are prophesied in these areas, and we are to celebrate and give praise to God among the Gentiles, and I will sing, to you, to your name. So thinking about the Gentiles to glorify God and his mercy. Again, he says, I want you to get this closely. Deuteronomy. Let's go there real quick. Deuteronomy. And this would be chapter 32, verse 43. Then I say, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. So what is our role? Why did Christ become a servant to the circumcised? And why did Christ become a servant to the Gentiles? Look at this. Rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people, so that we might rejoice with the Jewish nation. Isn't that powerful? I love this. And it's in Deuteronomy 32, 43. It says, rejoice, O nations, with his people, for he will avenge the blood of his servants and will render vengeance on his adversaries and will atone for his hand and his people. I love this. So rejoice, O nations, with his people. So we are called today to rejoice because of the mercy of God upon us. And so many of us want to not rejoice with the nation of Israel and their success that they're having, but to become jealous of them, to belittle them, to put them down, to somehow say that they don't have a book, i.e. the Bible, they don't have a land, i.e. Israel, and they don't have a people, i.e. Jews. And God wants you to hear this clearly. If you're a Gentile, you should be rejoicing with the Jews. And you say, well, but wait, they need to have the Messiah. They need to have the Savior Jesus Christ. Yes, we should lead them to Christ. There's only one way to heaven. That is through Jesus Christ, the Jewish Messiah. I'm not disputing that. I am saying that the Bible says, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. And so we should be praying for the peace of Jerusalem. We should rejoicing and not saying, aha, like in Ezekiel. We talked about that yesterday, but we should rejoice with them. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and all and let all the peoples praise him. So verse 11 comes from Psalm. Let's go there. Psalm 117. Praise the Lord, all nations or Gentiles. Loud him, all peoples, for his loving kindness is great towards us. And the truth of the Lord is everlasting. Praise the Lord. It's one of the shortest psalms, right? Two verses. Praise the Lord, all the Gentiles. We can read it. Loud him. In other words, give him praise, all you peoples. I love that. Don't you just love that? We're supposed to rejoice with the Jewish people. We're supposed to show them that their Messiah, that we're making them jealous to want to serve their Jewish Messiah, Jesus, who's our Messiah, because we are grafted in like never before. It says, for his loving kindness is great towards us. Do you feel God's loving kindness today as you walk into that workplace, as you're stepping into that public square? Have you reconciled in your heart the very fact that God just loves you so very much? He just loves you. His loving kindness towards you. And the truth of the Lord is everlasting. God's truth is everlasting. From everlasting to everlasting, he reigns. Praise the Lord. And the final one, it says this. And again, Isaiah says, so this one he says, where he's getting this. There shall come from the root of Jesse, and he who arises to rule over the Gentiles, in him shall the Gentiles hope. Okay? So Isaiah prophesies of this day. Now, I'm going to tell you, when I read this in Isaiah chapter 11, verse 10, it's going to sound a little bit different. Yet Paul, who is a Pharisee, who is a convert to Jesus, interprets Isaiah 11, 10 in the way I just read it. There shall come from the root of Jesse, and he who arises to rule over the Gentiles, in him shall the Gentiles hope. Okay? This is how he interprets this verse. Then in that day, the nations will resort to the root of Jesse. So he takes that idea of resorting to the root of Jesse. They shall come to the root of Jesse. In other words, they're gonna pour out their hearts to them. And he arises to rule over them, who will stand as a signal for the people. That's this part. And he will arise to rule over the Gentiles. And his resting place will be glorious. And in him, the Gentiles shall have hope. So what am I saying to you? Jesus Christ came for the Jews, the circumcised, and Jesus Christ came for the Gentiles, the uncircumcised. Now, I fully recognize that some Gentiles are circumcised. I get it. I fully recognized that, some Jews, what have you. So my point is this, it's the same Messiah, Jew or Gentile. Now, you say, well, how can that be? God has a nation. We need to rejoice with the nation of the Jewish people and pray for the peace of Jerusalem, that they would have the blinders removed and that they would see that Jesus is Yeshua, the Messiah. We also need to pray for the Gentiles because there's an apostasy that's going to happen in the church. People are going to start falling away from Christ, that they would find their hope and draw on the mercy of God and Jesus, the Messiah. There's only one way to heaven. That's through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus, our Messiah, the Jewish Messiah that has come and died on the cross and rose again that we may have eternal life. God, as Gentiles, we recognize that we are grafted in. Our roots are Jewish roots, and we do not hate our roots. We understand that the root of Jesse and that you go before us in all things. We come to the Jewish Messiah, Jesus, and we know that he rules over us as Lord and he reigns over us. God, we look forward to your return. We look forward to you coming and getting your bride. You have a church, you have a nation, and God, we thank you that the church is the bride of Christ. We pray that we'll live in such a way that the Jewish people would be jealous of our relationship with you and come to the saving knowledge of Jesus, and that they would turn to you and find mercy in this time. We do pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We pray that you would just comfort your people, that you would bring about peace over that city, and God, that you would go before us in all things. In Jesus' name, amen. Now get out there and defend and advance biblical values in the public square. God bless.
You love our beautiful state, but does fighting for issues that most affect families ever feel like you're climbing alone? It can feel like an uphill climb in a hostile environment that Champions causes detrimental to Washington families. Again and again, the summit feels out of reach, but you don't have to climb alone. With like-minded people fighting for Washington families by your side, the journey becomes not just possible, but powerful. The Defender app brought to you by the Family Policy Institute of Washington, connects you with your team for the climb ahead. Connect with conservatives who care about issues affecting families in your specific county and across our state in order to make our voices be heard locally and in Olympia. Simply click Learn to stay informed about the latest news affecting families. With one click, press Huddle to team up with other conservative minds in your specific county who care about how these issues affect you and your unique community. Then simply press Activate to get involved and to make your voice heard on legislation that matters in Olympia. With the Washington Defender app, you won't face the fight alone. Together, we can make a difference for families in Washington. Download the Washington Defender app today, a simple way to let your voice be heard.